Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Chris Claus Show. I am sitting here in where else but beautiful vacation destination bound Pacoima, California, with the likes of a Danny Ramirez, and we got something special in store for you tonight. Damn! WWE future star. He's on our show tonight. Before he gets signed, this will be his last official non-WWE interview. We got him tonight. I'll tell you who he is in a sec. Southern California residents know him especially well, but all around the world. Now he will be world-bound in the WWE. It's Milk Chocolate Willie Mack coming up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Claus. Welcome to the Chris Claus Show. I am sitting right next to the one and only...
Danny Machichi Ramirez.
That's right. Hey, what are you?
Who am I? Your co-host, Maxim Magazine's sexiest referee.
You know what? That's why I was asking you that.
Yes.
I heard recently that Maxim Magazine has taken a new poll for the sexiest referee west of the Mississippi 2015. Hey, 2015 is coming up, pal. You got to defend your title.
Oh, that's why I have workout classes Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. at the new spot, Chris.
That's right. We're going to get into that a little bit. Good nutrition is still continuing, pushing forward. You've been helping a lot of people, helping yourself, of course, because I know 2015 is coming up.
Yep. It comes fast, man. You know how it is.
Oh, time flies. Time flies, brother. Hey, speaking of flying, we got somebody that's flying high, and I don't blame him. His name is Willie Mack. He is our guest tonight.
Wait a minute. Willie Mack, when'd you do this?
Hey, I went down south.
You went down south.
Well, not where he's from. Not where his family's from.
Wait a minute.
From.
Where was I at? When did you come? I never got...
You were up north. You were at Pacoima, pal.
You were enjoying yourself.
Hey, we all can't be fortunate enough to enjoy ourselves in beautiful vacation-bound Pacoima, California every day of our lives. You are able to do that. However, I personally was on assignment. I went down to South Central, South LA, whatever you want to call it. Danny, with all kidding aside, we've heard the term rags to riches.
Yes.
If this story doesn't epitomize that more than any, I don't know what would. And that is the story of Milk Chocolate Willie Mack. This guy was homeless at one point in his life. This guy was begging for work, not only in wrestling, just in general. And he hit the big time, and there's no more of a humble personality that I know than Willie himself that deserves this. And you know, this interview was something else, Danny.
Yeah, well, I bet I wasn't there.
So is that all you worry about is yourself? You're not concerned about...
No, I was worried that Willie Mack wanted me to be there.
Right.
Not about me. It's about...
So again, it wanted you to be there. You don't care if he got interviewed. All right, well, the interview is said and done, and now what?
Whatever.
Whatever. Okay, that's exactly my point. Well, hey,
I send the emails to 123 at... Chris Claus.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try to get into this now. It's not about me. It's not about Danny. Danny was up here enjoying...
By the way, what have you done for me lately? Never mind.
I love that song. But you know what? Right now, we're going to get into it. A very exclusive interview. We were there, and hey... Actually, Willie had a few shout-outs for you, Danny, so
awesome.
You're going to regret saying that when you hear this interview. But, yeah, Willie is on his way, fans, to the WWE. You're going to hear that more in our interview. But, yeah, just to let you know, Willie Mack got signed to World Wrestling Entertainment. He will be starting up very soon. So, fortunately for us and for you out there listening, he did agree to do this interview. And this, again, is his last official interview because, again, once you get signed to WWE, That's it. You cannot do an interview unless you are sanctioned by WWE. So unless you're, you know, being interviewed on The Tonight Show, on David Letterman, or wherever, you know, that's pretty much the only time they're going to allow you to be interviewed. So as far as something really, truly for the fans of wrestling out there, our show, you know, we want to thank Willie for graciously allowing us to interview him. For example, I got a few buddies in WWE. We talked about this before, Danny.
Yeah.
GQ Money.
Right.
Okay, he can't be interviewed.
No. Nope.
My buddy as well, good friend of mine, Joey Styles. He'd love to do it, can't be interviewed. It has nothing to do personally. It's just a WWE contractual thing where, you know, they're not allowed to do whatever. And, you know, we all know how that works, most of us. So, again, we got him just before he officially got picked up. So without any further ado, let's hear it right now before he becomes the big-time WWE superstar, Willie Mack. Here he is right here. Still SoCal bound before he takes off back east, the one and only, exclusively on the Chris Kloss Show. Here he is, Willie Mack, shooting it all the way down here. I cannot reveal where we are at this particular time. I can reveal who I am with. I think you guys all know that by now. We've been promoting it. A lot of fans have been interested, especially here in Southern California. In regards to our guests here. But yes, I'm in a secluded location because of contracts that have recently been signed. Can't talk too much about them in detail, but of course, everybody in Southern California knows my guest right now just got signed to the WWE, and we're privileged enough to have him on here. And I know a lot of fans, again, here in Southern California want to hear what you have to say straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. I want to welcome to the show the one and only, one of the all-time greats. I'm talking about Southern California superstar, soon to be WWE superstar, the one and only Willie Mack. I want to say you're back, but no, you're leaving us, pal.
Yeah, it looked like it. Big steps coming, and yeah, it should be a good little move, I guess.
Little move? No, man, this is a big deal, and what a story, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk, Willie Mack, really quick about your career. You started, I would say, I remember, well, first off, we first met. The first time I recall meeting you was during the days when we were doing WSX, the MTV show. Now, I don't know if you used to go to the XPW shows or not. You did, okay. And had we met back then, it would have been very, very brief. But I remember having pretty extensive conversations with you at WSX. And you were, like we all were, people that are in the business to get where we are. We're always hungry. We always want to do whatever it takes. We'll wait in line. We'll talk to the promoters. We'll set up rings. We'll do anything. I know you've been down that road, so have I. But that's what you were doing there at Wrestling Society X down in Hollywood when we were taping those shows, is you were literally waiting outside by the fence trying to see who you could meet, who you could talk to. And unfortunately, I couldn't do anything for you, but we were talking quite a bit at that time. And I remember that was the first time I really got to know you. And you were really, hadn't really started yet at that point, had you?
Well, I had my first match May 14, 2006. So I
okay, that was right. Okay, so that was right around that time.
Yep.
That was right around that time. Okay, so. And fast forward now. So here you are, young kid, sitting out on the streets of Hollywood, not begging for change, but begging for an opportunity like we all have in this business. Right there, what a place to be at that time. It was a big thing that was going on, kind of like what's going on right now out here with the AAA El Rey shows. They're doing all that. We'll see where that goes. And, you know, wish them the best. You were trying to get a spot, trying to do whatever you could. Fast forward now, back, okay, that was 2006. We were, yeah, that's right, because the show aired in 07. So fast forward now, a good 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe it's been that long, by the way. But fast forward a good 8 years. The journey that you've been on, I got to say, my friend, is quite remarkable because It's one of those rags to riches stories where the biggest dreams can come true. And you really, my producer George and I, when we were on our way to the secluded location, again, secluded, we cannot talk about where it is. Yes. But when we were on the way here, we were just talking about that and how amazing it is, and what you had to go through, not just to get here, but just in life. And now you're the horizon is seeing Willie Mack at the top of the pyramid. And how do you feel?
It feel like a dream. I can't. When you hear something like good happening like that, you want to pinch yourself to see if you'll wake up and be in the bed. But it's real. It's happening. Because coming up in South Central, you're only supposed to, like, either sell drugs, be a gang banger, or be dead before you turn 18. And I'm 27 now and been all around the world because of wrestling. And people know me for Willie Mack wrestling, not like, oh, he over there selling drugs, or he got shot, or he's in jail doing time. And I just want to, this is what I want to do. I want to get out and see the world and have fun while I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And God bless you, man, for it, because a lot of people out there listening to our show, if you don't know who, if you're a West Coast, specifically Southern California, most everybody knows the guy. You have a unique style, a unique look, and you can move for a big man. All right, And I think you put all these things in the equation, and you're a very easy guy to work with. You know, you're very down to earth. And I've known you for a little while now. And when I think the WWE, they look for people, they're also looking for that personality to see how are we going to deal with this guy in the back. Not just their character, not just their, you know, the it factor, their promos and their the in-ring ability and their look. But I'm also talking about how you are as a person. And it doesn't surprise me that they signed you looking at that aspect. So, you know, I think you also got to this point, Willie, because of the way you also carried yourself in the locker room, in the back. I've never seen you pissed off at anybody. I've never seen you hold a grudge. I just haven't. You know, I've known you for a little while now, and there is this guy we know T-shirts, and I know you didn't really. But in all honesty, you know, so I think that goes a long way. And talk a little bit about now what really catapulted you, because I want to fast forward from the days when I first met you at WSX MTV, but I also want to rewind a little bit from today. You're now getting signed to WWE. When you and I worked together, and this was in the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, and we were doing shows out in Las Vegas, all over here, Southern California, traveling quite a bit. Of course, I was just, you know, I was doing the play-by-play, the color commentary for television. And that's when I really started to see you. I really started to see you take off. I really got introduced to you as the wrestler. And I also saw your progression pretty fast. And I must say, when I saw you just on NWA, Willie, okay, you're just now getting signed to WWE, right? When I saw you on NWA, I was like, oh my gosh, Willie Mack's on TV. Whoa, this guy's on TV. Not to take anything away from your talent, but again, it was one of those hard to believe instances, because I guess I had a first impression of you like, oh man, this guy's trying. I hope somebody gives him his shot. And you got your shot. And that's all you needed was your shot. And then once you got that shot, you proved yourself. Mm-hmm. And talk about that experience, the NWA. Because I know at the same time, you proved a lot of critics wrong as well.
Yeah. Well, when I was starting out with the NWA, like, when they taught me about the tapings and stuff was coming up way back when, and they saw me, and I guess my weight or whatever, or the way I looked, they said I looked, a certain person said I looked too heavy for TV. And I'm like, all right, whatever, I take it how it is. But then I guess they just said, whatever, just give me a shot. And me and LTP went out there and had a tag team match against Joey Ryan and Johnny Goodtime.
Okay.
And they saw the fans didn't care if I was fat or skinny. They just cared about my wrestling and I guess what I had to bring to the table.
Right, right.
And from there on, I got booked at every single taping or had like a little spot. Because I would just hang out at the shows, even though if I wasn't booked, I didn't care. I just wanted to, like, be a part of it somehow to help out. And
yeah.
Got my shot, and I ran with it, and it's been going good so far.
It has, Willie. And I think that a lot of that shows your love for the business. I've been there before. As far as, you know, I don't care that the show's over. I don't care that my job's done. I still want to be here. I want to hang out with the boys. I want to help out if I can. That just shows to me how much you love the business, how much you want to be doing this, you know, and you are. And I remember those tag matches. Not only that, I remember the tag matches with you and LTP, who I haven't seen in a long time, by the way. How's he doing?
He doing pretty good.
Yeah, is he still working or?
Yeah, he wrestles at AOW in Palm Desert.
Oh, okay, way up, High Desert.
Yeah, yeah, and then he does IWL whenever they run again. So.
Gosh, I haven't seen him in ages, man.
Yep.
Oh, the IWL, Willie. That's you know, actually, come to mention, I'll be working with that. Shout out to Degenerate John and Mr. Luna up there, putting the show on, and that's going to be. I'm looking at my producer George, September the 28th. That's right. Okay, so check that out. IWL up in the old High Desert. Well, that's where you were working with them. But yeah, check out their website, IWL, and see all the information with the show coming up at the end of the month here, September 20th. But talking about Willie Mack, talking about the man I'm interviewing right now, talking about the future WWE superstar, one of the last exclusives that you're able to do. We were talking about just before we went on the show that we wanted to have you on the show because we had some people writing in, fans writing into our account for the Chris Kloss show once we said we might be having you on. And very positive responses for you, especially from people out here in Southern California. But we all know people like GQ Money, who's now signed with the company. I'm good friends with Joey Styles. And these guys, unfortunately, we were talking, they're unable to, you know, do interviews right now because they're already signed. So, you know, I guess get them in while you can, Willie, because you're going to be exclusive pretty soon. So, but talk about, you know, when you were just talking to me about and talking to the fans out there about when you got your start and when your match was over or whether you were even booked on the card, you would want to hang out. You would want to help out. You would want to do whatever you can. Tear down the banners, the lights, tear down the ring, you know, get the truck ready for the next show or what have you. Talking about how that shows the love right there. When you don't even want to go home when the job's over, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been there too. Talk about the love of the business. Why, how did you start watching wrestling? Because we all know that's where the love comes from when we all talk because we grew up with it, you know? And tell, rewind even further now, all the way back to little Willie Mack, the little guy running around the living room there, giving elbow drops off the coffee table, I'm sure, you know, the Barca Lounger got torn up in the back in the day. Talk about when you started watching wrestling and when you started getting into it. What league, who were the guys you liked, but what, around what time was it when you started watching?
Actually, I stumbled around on the television when I was like 4 years old, and I turned it on. I don't know if it was WCW or WWF, but Hulk Hogan was cutting a promo with Jimmy Hart. And he had, like, the big gold belt, so it must have been, like, WCW or
this
something.
Was when you were 4 years old?
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. You're 27, so we're talking 23. Yeah, okay. So, that would have been about, he was still in WWF, but this was just right before he went to WCW. So, this is right when he was turning face, and he was joining up with Jimmy Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah, that must have been maybe 20 years ago. Well, who knows? But right around there, around there.
Yeah, I stumbled on the TV and turned it on, and that was the first thing I could remember and see was wrestling and Hulk Hogan. And ever since then, when I got a little older, I kept up with it and figured out what time it came on or what channel and was, like, glued to the TV because it was something that interested me.
Yeah.
especially like when I was going to school and stuff. That's anybody who knew me around my neighborhood knew I was a little kid that loved wrestling. Because I'd always have a t-shirt or be talking about, oh, did you see Monday Night Raw or Nitro? And some people wouldn't care, some would care, because they just thought I was like crazy for liking wrestling.
Well, who's crazy now out here? You just talked about, I kind of tell you where we're at. I can't tell you pinpoint because, again, the reason we don't want to tell people where we're at right now is because, again, and nothing against the fans. Yeah. Nothing against the fans, but we can't have all the fans, you know, bombarding Willie Mack right now. He just got signed under contract, so we don't want to keep it under wraps. Kind of like when they used to drive the limo out, you know, when Elvis Presley was in the back, they put a towel over, so, you know, you can't have the people just slamming into the car and all that. But anyway, we are here down in South Central, South LA, if you will, now it's called. Mm-hmm. And you're talking earlier about you're either going to be selling drugs, you're going to be doing this, doing that, breaking in, you know, doing bad things, or making something out of yourself, and you're doing that. And God bless you, man. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And I think that's another reason why people wanted to hear you interviewed, you know, talking about that. But and it's such an inspiration, and good tributes to you, but such an inspiration to other kids that are not just here, but anywhere, you know. Mm. But it's funny that you say that, Willie. You're saying that people looked at you like you were the crazy one. Who is the crazy one now? Everybody else that looked at you, right? Because look where you're going. Look what happened to you. You followed your dream. You followed what was in your heart. You didn't do because you were supposed to do. You cared about what everybody else thought. You know, and that's the trap that we all seem to get into in any aspect in life. And you're a shining example of, again, following your own intuition, getting out of the fears of what people think about you. Because that's what pretty much everybody does. You didn't do that. You went against the grain. And now you're where you're at. But when you were doing that, when you were a little kid, all right, and you were going through all those things, do you remember who in particular you were watching, who in particular you liked, or who in particular maybe stood out to you? I know you mentioned Hulk Hogan and just wrestling in general. Mm-hmm. Were you more a fan of the industry and the product, or did you have your favorites?
Well, my three top favorites was always Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, and Ultimate Warrior. So I just like watching those people for some reason.
So you were more of, I think we talked about this before, Willie, over at our friend Neil's where we watched the pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. I think you and I had these conversations before where we both liked Bret Hart. And I never liked Shawn Michaels.
No.
Hey, easy, easy. Remember now, you're going to be working with that. You said no. He just said no to me that I should not dislike Shawn Michaels. That's what he just said. Mm-hmm. No, I remember we had these conversations about Bret Hart. Part of possibly where your technical aspect of wrestling comes in? Is looking at a guy like Bret Hart? Because, again, you move, and it, guys, mainstream, I know in Southern California, you guys know it. People listening to the show across the U.S., across the world, because we do go World Wide Web, you're going to see what I'm talking about with this guy very soon on your televisions. But you're a big man, but you can move like a technician. Was Bret Hart one of those influences in your style? Or is this something you learned later on during training?
Well, it's something I learned later on because I didn't really like wrestling, like technical stuff, but I ended up getting into it all like, well, you got to learn a little bit of everything. So that's why I can do the high fly, I do the hard hitting, and I can do the technical and comedy or whatever you want me to do. I can basically, I just want to have all my bases covered.
And when did you, let me ask you this before I get to that question. What do you have a favorite match of all time and why?
I guess my favorite match was the 1-2-3 Kid versus Razor Ramon in the $10,000 ladder match.
Oh.
When, like, 1-2-3 Kid barely got his job.
Okay, right.
And it was pretty cool because it was like this dude came out of nowhere and beat Razor Ramon like a week or two before. And Razor put up his money and said, all right, I bet he can't do it again. And you see 1-2-3 Kid came out with the victory on that one. And that was something amazing to watch.
Kind of like when Horowitz beat skip, you know, one of the, like, you see this guy come up and, but yeah, no, great, good technician. When did you, because obviously you have it and you understand it. When did you fully grasp, and I know we're always learning every single day as it goes on in this business, but where, when did you really understand, because you said earlier, okay, I can do the hard hitting, I can do the technical wrestling, you can do the comedy if you want, you can do the heel, the face, yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you learn that? And what I'm taught, when I say that, psychology. The psychology of professional wrestling. We all kind of get it when we're kids, but then we put it together. Don't you know what I'm saying? Like, we kind of put it together and make it make sense, or is it something that just comes natural to you?
Yeah, I guess it does come natural because, like, I never really thought about it. It was just like, if I'm going in my matches, I'm like, all right, this is what I need to do to get the job done, and just listen to the people and see when the good reactions come from. So I never really, like, fully understood it. I just go out there and do it, and it's
I think it comes together. Okay, I think it's one of those things, you know, as you're answering that, when people say, okay, it's a psychology, okay, you're telling a story out there, I think it's one of those things, too, you can learn that, but it's almost like an instinctive thing that if you get it, no explanation's necessary. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it, no explanation will ever do. You know, you almost can't explain to certain people that don't get professional wrestling. They just kind of have to get it. Well, who did train you?
It's a whole bunch of people.
Oh, who was the first?
Actually, when I was 14, I caught the Asylum, the XPW school, and it was funny because
you were only 14 when that was around. Wow, yep, man!
But y'all like had moved to Philly, I think, or something happened. The East Coast thing happened.
Okay.
So
right.
The Asylum wasn't there no more. So it was Jezebel was the first person that I talked to on the phone, which I found out years later.
Okay.
Who transferred me over to Angel.
Yeah, I remember when he was.
And he got me in contact with Ron Rivera for Ralph Pro.
The American Wild Child.
Yep.
Yeah, AWC.
Yep, and then he said they have training sessions on Thursdays in the City of Industry at the Frank and Sons Collectibles.
Oh, I remember that now, yep.
So I had a day off from school, and I went down there, just have some jeans on and some wrestling shoes and a tank top, and had my first training session. It was hard, but I got through it, and half the stuff they were surprised that I already knew.
Huh.
Because we're watching wrestling since I was a kid, so I somewhat know stuff. So there we go. That was my first training. I said, all right, I'll see y'all in like 4 years when I graduate and get my diploma and try to do this full time.
Right. You knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah, because in school they said, whenever they said what you want to be when you grow up, I said a pro wrestler. They're like, nah, you want to be a cop or a firefighter or something else besides a pro wrestler. And
again,
I was
doing
like,
doing what everything is expected of you, not following your intuition.
Yeah, no, I want to be a pro wrestler. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yep. But then we trained and did that stuff. So 4 years later, I graduated. It was June 20th, 2005.
Oh, that's when you graduated.
Yep. Then June 21st, 2005 was a Thursday, so I just had my stuff and went straight to the wrestling school the next day.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yep.
You know, it was a pretty cool crossing paths with you. I'm a little older than you. Got my start a little bit older than you. I actually graduated college the same year you graduated high school. But don't let that fool you. I'm still more, still a lot older than that than Willie is. I went back to school, you know, after. So, but anyway, I digress. Willie, talk a little bit about what you're feeling right now. I know you have family here in Southern California. Talk a little bit about the big move coming up. I mean, it's going to be a big move, a big transition in your life. I take it you're going to be moving to Florida first, most likely. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And we have some SoCal friends that are living down there now. We, you know, GQ Money, Ryan Katz is down there. A friend of ours who made a name for himself in the last, I'd say, 3-4 years, Ricardo Rodriguez, Chimera. He was out here, and I believe you had a match with him a few years ago when we put presented the XPW 10-year reunion show.
Yep.
Wasn't that well, you had a and go figure, the two guys got signed for WWE, were in the preliminary dark match for XPW 10, but I remember. That it was like, I think it was a six-man tag, was it?
It was a six-man elimination.
That's right, six-man elimination.
Yep.
The reason I don't remember that is because I never called that match because they didn't put it on. It was a dark match. But I remember the match stole the show. And I really set the tone. That was out in Hollywood, and that was the XPW 10-year reunion show, which I can't believe that show was back in 2009. That's 5 years ago now.
Yep.
Go figure. But anyway, that show happened, and it was a five-star match. You were involved in it. Chimera, Ricardo Rodriguez, was involved in it. Mm-hmm. Were you guys on the same team or opposing teams?
Opposing.
Opposing teams. Okay, so, you know, we know his story. He was down there, and he was living there, and unfortunately, you know, but not unfortunate. I don't want to say that, because he made a name for himself, and who knows? I mean, the future, if you could get re-signed, crazier things in the wrestling business have happened. So, you know, we've come across a lot of talented people, and when I hear you talk, Willie, I hear... someone that loves the business and someone that gets it, someone that doesn't need a lot explained to him. It's almost like a born-in knowledge that you have when you're almost it's a part of you because it got to you at such an early age that you kind of grew with it and you just get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just get it, and I think that's another reason why. You got signed. Again, these promoters aren't dumb. They can see this in people. You know, they can see that in people, an instinctive quality. And it's something that you would say inherently understand, yes? Professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's a trip because I remember one time a promoter told me if I left his school, I would never go to Japan, I would never leave the country, I would never... do anything in wrestling if I left them. But I was like, all right, you just gave me some motivation, and here we go. I've been to Japan, Germany, England, Australia, Canada. Just barely went to Japan recently, and Mexico again. So I've been everywhere you want to go in wrestling. And
well, it's an honor to have you on the show. I mean, again, world-renowned. And, oh, come on, you're laughing. Look at this guy. I mean, he just talks about he's been all over the world. And that's the thing. I've known this guy, again, since he was clawing his way to the top from XPW, mostly WSX. And he just gets signed to WWE. He's already traveled the globe. Same exact guy that you met back then is the guy I'm talking to right now. So, again, good tributes to you. And you're just being real. You're being as real as you can. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some of your fondest memories here in Southern California. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the guys that you appreciate working with and whatnot. And we have a few other questions for you, Willie Mack, but we're going to take a short break right now. And again, we are on location, secluded right here with future WWE superstar Willie Mack on the Chris Claw Show. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
This is Tom Kennelly, and you're listening to my brother from another mother, Chris Kloss, on The Chris Kloss Show.
Hi, everybody. This is WWE superstar Jerry the King Lawler. That's right, the voice of Monday Night Raw. And you are listening to The Chris Kloss Show. I don't know why you're listening, but you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Chris Kloss Show right here on iTunes. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. And this is a very special episode, an exclusive. We have a very special guest. We want to thank everybody out there that have been doing sound bites for us, by the way. We got Todd Kennelly. We got Jerry the King Lawler doing that, too. So all these guys out there, I want to, again, thank them for doing shout-outs. And, yes, Jerry Lawler, there are reasons why people listen to The Chris Kloss Show. I don't know what they are yet, but we'll figure it out. We'll get those reasons back to you. Anyway, Willie Mack, when we were off the air, I was going to ask you about some of your most memorable matches, some of your most memorable experiences working here in Southern California, from AWS to PWG to NWA Wrestling from Hollywood, Hybrid, you mentioned, and bring us up to speed, because we wanted to kind of talk about this off the air. Weren't really sure if it was going to. I mean, it's a no holds barred show. I mean, we don't edit anything out, but we also wanted to make sure this was not going to be too graphic. But you told us something on break that was pretty extraordinary, pretty extreme, if you will. And if you don't mind sharing that with your fans, our fans that are out there listening to the podcast right now, I'm going to let you take the floor, if you don't mind, and kind of sit back and listen to this again, because the jaw was dropped when I was hearing it, and I think the jaw will probably drop again when I hear it for the second time.
It was at the arena, which I've got a little history with, because this was the first set of history. It was the second thing that happened at the arena a little bit later.
I'm sorry, the arena in Hollywood?
Yeah.
The same one where XPW 10 was.
Yep, that's okay. The same place that happened too. But the first one was at the first Hybrid Pro show that they did at the arena.
Right, I remember that.
It was supposed to be...
I remember I was there. I saw you there, and that was before the 10-year reunion.
Yeah. Yep, well, anyway, it was me, Human Tornado, and supposed to be Scorpio Sky, but he couldn't make it for some reason, so it ended up being me and Tornado versus Gorilla de Sangre, Nemesis, and Ronin. So, in the match, I got, like, one of them luchador slaps to my face, like, they like to slap punch.
Yep. Make the impact so the fans could hear it.
Yep, so...
Right there on your... Okay.
So, the first one caught me in, like, my chin area, so I guess he didn't hit the spot where he wanted to hit it. But then he went up a little bit too high and caught me right in my ear. And I didn't know it at the time, but he busted my eardrum.
Oh.
So I was right there in the match, like, the right side of the crowd I could hear. But, like, I looked to my left where Tornado was. He was, like, talking to me, but I couldn't hear nothing out of one side of my ear. So I didn't think nothing of it. I thought I was going to sleep it off. So when I got home, I took a shower. And some soapy water ended up getting into my ear hole. And it stung like hell, but the water ended up coming out of my mouth from that hole because it was so big.
It came through your ear, and then the soapy water came out of your mouth that went in your ear.
Yep, so I got earwax and all that good stuff coming out of my mouth. So
how did it how did earwax taste?
It tasted like whatever because the soap was in it.
Well, that's true. I guess, okay, you're right, yeah.
But, like, yeah, the next day... We decided, what the hell, just go to the USC Medical Center.
Right.
And we was there a good total of 12 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm up here with, like, a busted eardrum, and the lady checked my ear. It was funny because she looked in my right. She said, all right, that's good. And then she looked at the other one and said, oh, yep, it's busted. I said, what'd it look like? She said, oh, a hole with blood in it. She was like, it's like that much of your eardrum left. So I thought I was going to be deaf in one ear. So, but I'm good now. Like,
what happened?
Gave me some of the medicine.
They just gave you some medicine?
Yeah. Like, I went to another doctor like a couple days later because it started healing. But they shot like some milk stuff, some clear milk looking stuff in my ear, and took like these tweezers and start picking the scab off, like clearing away from it. And that stuff ended up coming out my mouth too, because every day I had to do that.
Oh, my gosh. For how long?
About a good couple months.
And how is it now?
It's good. It's like...
Is it
good enough because they said it probably wouldn't have came back, but...
Let me ask you this. If your right ear, which is the good ear, yeah? Okay. The right ear, let's say, is 100%. Where would the left ear be right now?
Maybe probably 60 or 75, maybe.
Huh. So this is an injury that you sustained in a wrestling match... Your ear was at 0%. You may not hear it all in your life. Mm-hmm. And now you're back, let's say, 60, 75%. Some people start losing their hearing for no reason. One ear is 70%, the other is 100%. So at 70%, what I'm trying to say is it might sound bad, but considering what you've been through, you could have been a lot worse.
Oh, I know. A lot of people told me that, but it's back. Now, the second story was at the same place in the arena at the 10-year XPW anniversary. If you see, Chimera went up top, and he eliminated me with a corkscrew moonsault. But instead of hitting me on the body, he ended up spinning and landing all on my face and head. And that, like, dislocated my jaw and bit my tongue at the same time, so...
And that was on the same side as your bad ear.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. You do have a history at the arena. What is with you in that place? You wrestled where? Like you said, everywhere else. All over the globe, but this freaking arena is the your Achilles heel, if you will, as far as venues for professional wrestling.
Yep. So I went in the arena thinking, all right, nothing's going to happen. That was last year. Something happened to my ear. It should be cool tonight.
Yeah.
Nope. Came back. Jaw was all jacked up and tongue was like bit in half.
Oh my gosh.
And I tried to eat a chili cheese dog later on that night and it wasn't working out and it wasn't tasting too good, so I was mad as hell. People know I love chili cheese dogs.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome, man. You weren't mad that, you know, you were injured. You were just pissed off that this chili cheese burger that is not good for me isn't tasting well right now. Oh, that's great, man. But, you know, that's, you know, I'm an announcer. You know, I guess I paid my dues in different ways, but we've all paid our dues in the business. But as far as physically, all that stuff, I can't even imagine, you know, going through some of the things you and a lot of buddies of mine have gone through. But, hey, you know what? You talk about paying your dues. Well, look what happened. You paid for them. And look at the benefit coming here now in just a matter of moments, fans, until, like I said again, you're going to be seeing this guy on your USA networks, on your, on your Sci-Fi Networks. Yeah, there you go. I got to catch up with this.
Or
Sci-Fi Network, or, of course, your WWE Network. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That goes without saying. So let's talk a little bit about Lucha Vavoom. How did you get started with them? And we're talking about you traveling the globe. Talk about what countries you've traveled. I know Lucha Vavoom has gone overseas.
Mm-hmm.
What other leagues have you traveled with? And where in the world places have you been to now since you've been a professional wrestler?
Well, I got started with Lucha Vavoom late in 2008 because the promoters didn't even know I was a wrestler. They thought I was just the dude that hung out with Los Luchas because they wrestled there, too. And one day at a San Francisco show, I was doing tricks and stuff in the ring, just messing around, testing out the ring. And they saw it. They were like, what? We thought you were just somebody that hung out with Will and Victor, like Los Luchas. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, I've been wrestling for a few years now. And they said, all right, we're going to give you a shot. Went out there, did my thing, and... Chocolate Caliente was born, and it was good to have debut in that spot because Robin Williams was at that show in San Francisco.
Well,
was at
the Fillmore. The late Robin Williams.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lucha Vavoom is, like, the only company that actually took me to different countries.
Mm.
So they took me to Australia, Canada, and Japan. But by myself, I've been to Mexico and England and Germany. And just had a layover in China, if that counts for anything.
No
I'm
way.
Just mad, but
that definitely counts.
Yeah, so I've been to all the countries you want to go to in wrestling. I'm glad that people actually took the time out and actually invested in me to think that I was going to do good. And I guess I did, and I got brought back multiple times. So
when you say by yourself, what exactly do you mean by that?
Oh, just like... by myself, like, got hit up on the old MySpace account and exchanged information with the promoters and stuff in Germany and England, and got bought out there in Mexico, the same thing too.
And you sent your demo out there? You sent, or you just kind of?
No, they knew who I was,
okay.
And they hit me up and said, "Would I like to come?" And I'm like, "Y'all paying for it, right?" And they were like, "Yeah." I'm like, "All right, good. I'm good then."
Yeah.
Yep. So. It was a fun experience knowing that I was just, you know, kid in South Central. Now I'm out here traveling the world just for wrestling.
Do you think that this travel, these experiences that you've had, as far as not just being on television, you know, wrestling with some of these guys that are professionals, but also traveling around the world. Do you think this will be a benefit to you going into WWE versus never doing anything like this and then, boom, all of a sudden being in the WWE? Because the reason I bring this up is because the only difference between you and I, you've had the guys look at you. I've had the guys look at me. I never got hired by them, but I had a couple tryouts with them. And Joey Styles was, and I know a lot of people listening have heard this before, but wanted to talk about this because you're on the show and share this with you, because these are the things that I put into perspective when I think about, you know, working for a company like this. Going over there, first off, he got me a tryout up in Oakland during a Raw taping, okay? Mm. Then they flew me out to Stamford, Connecticut, and I went through the whole, you know, the office, all that. And I remember, as nerve-wracking as it was, being there, seeing the cameras, the logos, the legends, and just being in the offices, I remember I was in the back of my mind thanking the fact that I had already gone through the experiences I've been through, so that this experience I was that much more ready for, even though I knew it was an awesome experience and I could be nervous. Do you share those sentiments to where you're happy that you've had these experiences before going in to the big lion, if you will?
Yeah, it's good to have an experience like wrestling with championship wrestling from Hollywood and NWA and being on local television. It's like it prepares you for, like, if you make it to the bigger level, so you won't get hit off guard with something, you're sure. already ready for it. Like, knowing everything, like your surroundings and how to talk and this, that, and the other. So going in there prepared is, like, your best thing.
Yeah.
But, like, once I got there, you got to go there like you belong there.
That's
basically.
Right.
Basically, because it's like if you go into a job interview like any other place and you're uncomfortable, they can sense it, and that'll determine if you get the job or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
So once I got in there, I did the drills. I met everybody and did what they told me to do and had fun. And I guess they liked what they saw. And here we go. It's a new future, a new chapter in the book of Willie Mack.
Wow. What was the tryout like? Who was, who was there? Who was in your tryout?
Yeah, a lot of folks. A lot of them was like random people, like football players and college folks, and like a son of a R&B singer. I forgot his name. Somewhat famous, a bobsledder, a strong man, and it was only like a few six wrestlers, indie wrestlers. It was like there, but
other people kind of got in there with their connections, huh?
I guess so.
And it's still not a guarantee.
Yeah, and I didn't even, I'm like, how did I get here? It's like,
right.
I'm just doing my thing on the local circuit thinking nobody really like here, but apparently they did. They knew of me already before I got there, and that surprised the hell out of me.
Your name, what did you go by? Remember those t-shirts you were selling, chocolate?
Oh, Milk Chocolate Willie Mack.
Milk Chocolate Willie Mack. And I love those shirts, man. Those were kind of a vintage shirt. It said Milk Chocolate, and underneath Willie Mack, kind of the same. And I know you're wearing one now.
I got the new one now.
Yeah, you got the new one now. But the Milk Chocolate Willie Mack, it looked like the Hershey's bar.
Yep.
The Hershey's chocolate bar. And what do we have now? We got
Willie Extra.
Oh, Willie Extra Mack.
Yep.
Never Willie Big Mack. You didn't work the McDonald's route. You could get a sponsor with them now that you never know. McDonald's could, you know.
Somebody tried to do that over in England because I was wrestling for All Star Wrestling, and I guess my name over there, Willie, means your thing, your man business. So they didn't want kids running around saying Willie Mack.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Or we want Willie.
That's so funny.
They said, why don't we change your name to Big Mac? Yeah, like, why don't we change your name to Big Mac? You could go out there and hand out Big Macs.
What about Big Willie?
Yeah. They'll probably get in trouble.
Okay.
Because, like, they had announcers, like, there was announcing during the wrestling show. It was funny, and I was like, they're like, we want Willie. They're like, wait a minute, you can't say that. And I was like, yeah, it's my name.
Oh, my gosh, that is awesome. That is awesome. What was the feedback for your tryout after your tryout was done? What was the feedback like?
It was good. Like, yeah. I thought it was, you know, good for what it was. Because I thought, like, man, they ain't never going to hit me up. Like, that's the one thing I thought. I'm like, I'm happy to get the opportunity, but I know, like, I probably won't be here. And then fast forward, got a call, and, hey, we'd like to hire you. I'm like, what? You for real? They're like, yeah. What do you want to? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, of course. This is the dream. But
who approached you with that? Was Regal, Triple H, any of those guys there?
No, none of them was there. It was just like a bunch of other people, like the coaches.
Okay.
Like Bill and Dusty were there.
Oh, DeMont.
A good dude named Robbie Brookside and Norman Smiley and a bunch of other people. It was like cool to see those people there and actually like paying attention to what you're doing.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I was like, I saw y'all all on TV and y'all been all over the place and y'all actually watching what I'm doing.
How did it feel like, you know, someone like Samoa Joe pretty much endorsing you on Twitter? What kind of reaction, you know, when you see that, do you get?
Oh, it's awesome. It tripped me out to like, because I only met Samoa Joe.
You guys
kind of
remind me of your styles a little bit, right?
A little bit, I guess.
Maybe your size in the ring, but I think you're more of a high flyer than him.
Yeah, because, like, I met Joe, like, 3 or 4 times, like, because he did PWG, and I was a fan, and I met him there, and then, like, TNA, when they would do, like, their little house shows or their Bound for Glory pay-per-view, I met him there, too.
Okay.
And ever since then, I guess he saw some of my stuff and was like, man, why isn't this guy here working with us and this and that? So it's great because I guess Real recognized Will. He's a cool dude, and
I'm
a down to earth dude, I guess. And
you are.
We kind of clicked together, and it was awesome. We finally had that match that I guess a lot of people want to see.
Well, yeah, that's one of those matches where you guys size up so well together, and you know, whenever you get two guys that really size up, it's always intriguing. So, yeah, again, two guys teaming up like that or, you know, paired up like that to go against each other. It must have been a solid reaction, especially, again, out here in SoCal, because you're literally a lot of people that know Samoa Joe from TNA know that he's a SoCal guy.
Mm-hmm.
How was the reaction when people knew that you were going against each other?
It was crazy because people thought it was a joke at first because they've been talking about it for a lot, but like I'm just thankful like Championship Wrestling actually was the only company to put it together, and yeah, it turned out pretty good for both ends.
Yeah,
like more people knew about him and knew about me, and now like more and more a wider audience, like TNA people probably was like, who's Willie Mack? And there we go. You can see the match. Okay. It's up on YouTube, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a special show. It was like non-televised, so.
I'm looking at my producer now. George, let's get that match maybe posted on our link it up. Yeah, because I'm curious to watch that, too. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. We got in-depth. We talked about Willie Mack's career. And, Danny, we're actually going to get... We're gonna treat this as kind of like a two-parter. This is gonna be part one of two of the Willie Mack interview. It kind of went long, and what's really great is as good as it was this part one. And just humbly speaking for myself, I'm talking about the person we were interviewing more so. But I thought it was a very real, very just down to earth interview. And I'm glad we were able to do it. So, you know, we are cutting this in half. And I have to say, Danny, part two is going to get a little bit more personal with Willie Mack.
Well, I seen Willie Mack when he first started. And what he said is true. You know, he's gone through a lot of stuff. And it feels good to see him in WWE.
Yeah, and like you said before, no one deserves it more than none other than Milk Chocolate Willie Mack. But you know what? God bless him. Rags to riches, like we've been talking about throughout the interview. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And I hope you guys really are taking advantage of interviews like this. Forget our show. Just the fact that these interviews are out there prior to these guys becoming more in the corporate world of wrestling, just corporate in general. And we're able to get these, you know, good, real interviews out. And we're privileged enough to be able to be the ones doing it. So, again, I want to thank Willie and want to thank all you fans for all your support, writing in, telling us, you know, actually getting excited about this interview before it even took place. And we got a lot of emails about that. So, again, thank you guys. And stay tuned. Next episode of the Chris Kloss Show will be part two of the Willie Mack interview. Danny, it's been a pleasure doing this. I mean, it's...
Pleasure for you, but I mean, I didn't do nothing, so...
What?
It was a pleasure for you, but I didn't... I wasn't there. I just,
well, you're here right now.
Yes, but I wasn't there when Willie Mack was there.
Yeah, but you're here talking about Willie Mack.
But I didn't get to see him. I wanted to see him before.
Why do you always complain?
That's my buddy, that, you know?
That's your gimmick? What? Is the Mr. Complainer?
What's
the
gimmick?
All right, good night, everybody.
What's the email again?
Oh, you know the email. Give me a break.